very much, choir. That is excellent. And the hymn singing, please, you can all be seated. And I really appreciate being here, Pastor.
Na so very Pastor.
And your wife also.
And
all the members here.
And so our member being Christian
church.
And Christian.
I'm really sorry, and I must be leaving quickly afterwards. But there's a book here that's for your pastor. And here are 3 more copies. And I'd like to turn your attention, please, into the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number
15.
And we'll read from verse number 29 up to verse number 32. And the title of this message is If the Dead Rise Not.
And Matatu Basutashiba Basutashiba.
And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:29,
in the Bukakaranta, Zabukaranta, Manzubul Siti Magana.
Otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead if the dead do not rise at all? Why then are they baptized for the dead? Why is there a death, a burial, and a resurrection pictured in baptism? And why do we stand, Paul says, in jeopardy, in danger every hour? I affirm by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. So just as confidently as I know that you are Christians, Paul says, I die daily.
Raise a hand, so that
and so how many people are able to understand my English?
No one is to na jit durenshina.
Is it everybody, Pastor?
Go ahead and jit durenshin, not all.
Okay.
That's why I'm so to interpret.
Verse number 32. If in the manner of men, Paul says, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If the dead do not rise, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. What the Apostle Paul is saying is that if there is no resurrection from the dead, there is no use in following our Lord Jesus Christ. His sacrifice has not been accepted, he says in the earlier part. And here he's saying that there really is no meaning unto life at all except pleasure if there is no resurrection day at the judgment seat of God. But he's really making this argument because there is a resurrection day. And the pastor actually read the consequences of this great day from 2 Thessalonians 1 when he comes back in flaming fire to take vengeance on those who do not know God.
Ila paso ya ita paso mpya karatu ya runa mana shwa. Akwera nanda kubangi Yesu daona hukunshi da sheria chicken uta dobie sharaka wenda bazubana gaskia ga almasiwa.
And so what Paul is saying is that there is a resurrection.
Abunda manzo kuliseki jama na shwa akwe tashi matatu.
There is a day of judgment.
Akwe rana kumana sheria agaba.
And based upon this fact, what manner of persons ought me and you to be?
Tunda akwe tashi matatu akwe rana sheria. Woni ili mutuni ya kamata kasanjia kamata kasanjia kukuti kasanjia.
And here is the first thing that I really want to say is that based upon this day of the resurrection, me and you had better get ready
unto me.
He's coming to execute his judgment and his vengeance. And to not be ready to meet God is the most foolish, is the most stupid thing a human being can ever do, is live his life unprepared for that great day of judgment, that great day of the resurrection, which is surely coming. And in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse number 9, the Apostle Paul, he says this. He says, therefore, we make it our aim. And I want you to understand that Paul is talking the chief of the apostles, and he's talking like this thing is not already finished, but I must press through in order to get unto the mark of the prize of the high calling that's in Jesus Christ.
And
so we make it our aim. We don't assume. We don't take it for granted. We don't believe what anybody says about the Bible, but we are like those Bereans who search the scriptures to make sure that what these men of God are saying is actually in the book of the Word of God, the Bible.
Praise the Lord.
Because you and I will not be judged by what we think is right, but the judgment has already been set forth in the Word of God. And so therefore, we make it our aim, meaning my only business in this life is to get myself ready to meet my God and Maker. I'm preparing, sir. I'm not assuming. I'm living my one life for only one reason. The day of judgment is coming, and I've got to be ready. And so Paul says, as to whether I'm present here in this body when Christ awakens the dead and he comes back in clouds of glory, or if I'm absent and I'm already with Christ, I make it my aim that my one business is to be well pleasing unto him. The Apostle Paul says, I beat my body and I bring it into subjection.
Yeah.
That's that after I've preached unto others, I myself should be cast away.
He's
saying it's not an easy thing to enter into the kingdom and to get ready to meet God at that great day. It's no light matter, sir. And people think, my brothers, my sisters, that by coming forward and by saying, I have decided to follow Jesus, that means that you are accepted. It does not. Salvation is not you deciding something, it's believing in what was done at the cross and a person whom you've never seen and putting your trust in him and not some decision you've made.
Oh, my brother,
we must never put trust in what we've done but Christ Jesus. I must not put trust in what I've done, but Christ
Jesus.
And too many people think that being a Christian is just a decision I've made. It's more than
that.
What did our Lord Jesus say? You must be born from heaven.
Yes, she said.
The Almighty God must give you a brand new heart.
What did you do in the back of
the Almighty God must forgive your sin by the work of Christ at the cross, not merely by you saying, I want my sins forgiven. Have you ever seen anybody in the New Testament come to our Lord Jesus Christ and say, I've decided? To follow you myself. It only happened in Luke chapter 9. And all of them turned back. But when the Lord Jesus says, you follow me, when he puts power in the heart, when he speaks with the voice that awakens the dead, because Jesus said that the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those that hear shall what? Live. It's another voice that speaks to our heart with power. It's not the voice I decided,
but
it's the voice of God saying he decided. He chose me.
She
the foundation of the world. He forgave my sins. He gave me a new heart. He gave me power to
live.
And brothers, I'm trusting in him. How about you? If someone asks you if you're saved, is your answer, well, I came forward at the front of the church and I gave my life unto Jesus, or is your answer, God raised him from the dead, and I confess that he is my Lord? And that's that resurrection means that God has done something about our sins before me and you were born. He wasn't waiting on us to do anything. He says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And that world is everyone that believes on him with the supernatural power that comes from God.
And
how do I know it's the power of God? I trust in Christ and not myself. And my sin nature is under the controlling power of the Holy Ghost.
You
following
me?
Our brother Peter said, make your calling and election what?
Sure.
Sure. How do you know if you've been chosen by the eternal God but to live a life that brings him glory? It's to get his power inside your heart. It's to have the demon of fornication broken. It's to be subdued in your will until you actually call him Lord from your heart. It's a supernatural power. It takes God. It takes miracle to save every soul that's saved by Jesus Christ. How many people here want to see a miracle? And you've never seen anything with your eyes truly miraculous, like a man who had never walked, all of a sudden springing up. No, you have not seen it. If you've seen it, be on YouTube and everybody in the world would see it. But I'm talking about real miracles. I don't mean I put my hands on you and you fall back. I mean you got a brand new life and you got power over sin. I'm a walking miracle. That's a walking miracle. If you know God by faith in Jesus Christ, if you don't trust yourself at all, yet you live unto his glory with a brand new heart from God in heaven. You heard from God? Is it tracking with me? Here's point number two.
That is what you might not give you.
Since there is a resurrection of the dead. Oh, and I'm as sure of that as I am alive. Aren't you? But since there is, what great effort me and you make to persuade others. My life as a missionary is utterly wasted if there is no resurrection from the dead. As the Apostle Paul says, let's just eat, drink, and be merry. But look what Paul says that he went through, because there is a resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, let's pick it up again at verse number
30.
Paul says, and why do we stand in jeopardy every hour?
He's
saying, my life
is
on the line over the
gospel.
And as I was on my way here this morning in the back of the van, I had to shed some tears. Because the Apostle Paul went through far more than me and you. Because God is worthy and souls are going to hell. Why would he do it if there's no resurrection? I don't know if I should tell this story, but I probably should. It's on my mind. I'm an unmarried man, sir. I'm unmarried.
Okay, me by the Audi.
And it's a fine, young, just tender, beautiful young lady who I think loves of the gospel and she loves me. But you know what she told me yesterday? I got some questions about this missionary work and all the poverty. You can do so much better in California. Now, why on earth as to what I tell her, there is no turning back? I would lose my whole relationship with the Almighty God to turn back from what He called me to over some woman.
There's
no compromise. No going backward. And I'm trying to tell her there's no sacrifice too great for the Son of God and the endless souls.
And
that's just small suffering. Look what Paul went through. Because there is a resurrection. If I affirm by the boasting in you, which I just as much as I know you're saved, he said, I'm telling the truth. Me, I die, Paul says, every day. Yes, I have to die to myself, he's saying. But even more than that, every day somebody's coming to hunt me and kill me and take me out of here with pain. Who's telling you that Christianity's all sweets? Who's saying that? That's the problem of what's happening in
America.
We want our own selfish comfort and we couldn't care less about the souls of other human beings with skin like this. And that's why they send no more missionaries into a rugged place like Nigeria. It's too much ease and self-comfort, sir. Because men and women over there don't really believe that God
believes.
Oh, I was talking to a brother just yesterday from Bulgaria.
And
his accent is rich and deep in that, that Eastern European way. I just love that as to how he talks. But he was saying the American church is sick. Because all that the people do is talk about election and predestination and imputed righteousness, which is true, but it ain't the whole gospel. The whole gospel takes what you know about the everlasting love of Christ, and it saves you and makes you live your whole life to save other people. That's why we are all missionaries. Every Christian on planet Earth has but one mission. Your life, my life, is not live.
No.
It doesn't matter what makes me happy in this world. It only matters, like our Lord Jesus Christ said, nevertheless, your will be done.
He's
saying, even if it kills me, my Father, you take my life. But let what you want done be done. You save them through me. I give my life unto you for their sakes. My brothers and sisters, that's what it means to be Christian more than anything else. Father, bless me, bless my, bless, be full and rich and happy. Welcome to
America.
But Nigeria has a bad case.
Our
sinful prayers. You can check your own prayer life and be convicted right now. How much do you spend praying for the salvation of other people, including those enemies who slander you and laugh at you and mock you for following the word of God?
In Nigeria,
I'm glad you're hearing it twice. The Apostle Paul said, I'd give my life for this. And so every missionary is not a public preacher. It could be a small child at his school, but it's every one of us in our character to honor the blessed gospel, and in our heart, in our prayers, in our life, reaching it out to somebody else. I'm telling the truth. Look what Paul says in verse number
32.
If in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, Acts chapter 20, what advantage? Why would I give up such a sweet, pretty thing? What advantage is it unto me if the dead rise
not?
If the dead ain't rising, Paul's saying he may as well live like many of us who are just living for ourselves right now instead of for tomorrow.
Come on,
you let's just serve our fat bellies because of tomorrow we die. Let's just give as much of this world and as much comfort and couldn't care less about anybody else. Just gonna pray for myself and me and myself and my own and everybody else. But look what Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, if you do get rich. Every penny of it is. If you do get rich, every penny of it, every naira belongs to Jesus Christ. I pay no tithe. But by God's grace, I hope and trust every penny I have is His, including my whole life. And then He tells me as to what I can spend on myself, and everything else goes into ministry.
Could you, buddy, let me just explain in the way you want.
Please, sir.
Yeah, I'm gonna buy a beer, Zaka. I will buy a beer. Yeah, no, do a bunda ya samu. She is Zaka. She is Yaba Allah. Yabu yoni asu. I want to ask you. I pay the Allah Sarah Michelle. I'm not going to say cash don't cut her. Sora Gabale. You have to finish her. But by any means,
it's a lot of people who think that once they pay their tithe, that they're off the hook.
Well, I'm just going to get one. I want Ambia so I want to chill is like that. Yakari, Kenans, Yakari. Sora, I'm going to ask.
Look what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6.
And verse number
18. If you got money.
Verse 18.
It was a pastor, I think, in Lagos. Or it could have been in Abuja.
Lagos.
He made this post.
That's a real vegetable.
He said, I know that I'm anointed and have power with God because I'm rich.
Yashi, give out a shi lifa, and a shafi na the ego one and a kudi.
He's one of those fools with the private jet. All the people in his own church are hungry.
I
know that's evidence of blessing. Sir, that's an evidence of being reprobated by God himself.
Allah my issue up here. Give my home. Am I right?
Yes,
sir. That good answer.
Because if a man gets rich, let him do good, that they may be rich in good works. You still got
this
Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul said, ready to give, distributing unto the need. Only reason I was raised in beautiful, sunny, mosquito-free, perfect climate, California, is because I get to come here and the doors are open to preach the gospel and lay my life down for King Jesus, Lord, as an example unto you, my brethren. That's not about California. It's about the kingdom of heaven.
Glory.
Oh my brothers. Let me tell you a really quick story. It's true. I'll hit my third last one.
There
was an old woman in the U.S. Her and her husband had done extremely well, and they had a huge house. And they planned their retirement. And then the husband and the wife got to talking about how little they had done But Jesus Christ. And then shortly after, the husband died. And so the wife, she got to praying some more. She got convicted by the word of God by some texts. That's like that one in 1 Timothy 6. And the old woman says, look, I'm all by myself. I only need only one room. And so I'm going to rent out these other rooms in this nice house, and I'm going to send that money to missions. And I'm not saying that everybody has to do this actually physically, but this is an example of how everyone lives for our heart. And then this blessed sister, she got to thinking, I can make more money if I sell the whole house, and I can move into a place as to where there's a rescue mission for drunks and for strangers and traveling preachers, and I can get a little room there and help, and I can take all this money from the big house and give that into mission. And bless her happy soul. She funded two missionary stations with the Sudan Inland Mission, and it will only be in heaven as she gets to know how many souls that she helped reach. As they come running up to her and they hug her and they say thank you, and she hugs them and she says, thank our blessed Lord. But you don't do that kind of giving from a heart of faith that's not trusting in my giving to earn me anything with God. I'm still trusting. His blood is enough to satisfy me and God, right? But this is just to say thank you, Master. Thank you. And help somebody else. But you know what her reputation was in that mission house? As the most useful Christian in the whole territory. And so when the family came into hardship, we'd go over there and sit down and we'd minister, we'd change the sheets in the bed, we'd bring a little food, and we'd talk unto the family about Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Oh, what a life. What a life. What a woman. What an example. What a child of God. What a testimony. And that brings me into point three.
Ya kawiga number uku. Misali number uku darasi number uku.
Our pleasure
jindalimu
is not in eating and drinking, and let's be happy, and let's just serve myself.
I'm
trying to get my lady friend to understand that our happiness is an obedience. And you might can't see it. But I'm a happy man. I'm even happier on a mattress on the floor with a mosquito net in a Nigerian village where I might die for preaching the blessed gospel.
Glory.
And I really want you to clap for yourselves. It's your joy too. And I'm saying I'm happier than I was in California or ever could be, because it's not the will of God for me to be there. I got my passport in my bag. I can leave anytime I want, but I don't want. You understand? I want to be happy. I want to have joy. It's right here in the will of God. Whatever it is for your life.
Lord,
he gets it all. And then you'll be happy. When all you want is his will, you'll be happy. Because his will, it shall be done.
Oh my.
And you know, so in his conclusion, do you really believe in the resurrection? Or are you living for yourself instead of Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Our Father, we have heard your gospel. Apply it unto the heart by faith. Please strip away the pride, the self-righteousness, the pretentiousness, and make us lean only on the finished work of Christ. And Lord God, send the Holy Spirit for Christ's sake, and make us to give you everything. Oh, because you're going to raise the dead and punish it. And you're going to give us an everlasting reward. Our Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. Call poor sinners unto yourself with power. Amen.
Amen.
Let's celebrate God. Please, let's celebrate God. This is just timely. This is our passion. This is my passion. This is who I am. This is what I represent. You know. The church knows. The church knows that this is what we stand for. The commission knows what we represent. Humanity is our passion. Impact is our passion. Endlessly, we are highly blessed as a gathering for this one. Let me come and round up the service to allow. Oh yes, we just have to.
Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together unto the Lord for that wonderful love.